Academics at the University of the Free State have warned that people worldwide, including South Africans, should prepare themselves for more pandemics in the future. The bad news is that these academics also believe that the current coronavirus, which has already infected more than 18 million people and killed around 700,000, is only a dress rehearsal for an even bigger pandemic. Now, joining us this morning on the line, we have researcher at the University of Free State's Microbial, Biochemical and Food Biotechnology Department, Professor Robert Bragg. Robert, we thank you so much for your time. Good morning. Welcome to Radio Islam International.
Good morning. Thank you. It's a great pleasure to be able to talk to you this morning.
Were the warnings that humanity did not heed ahead of the COVID-19 pandemic, and what are the warnings now, in your opinion, that tell us we could be facing bigger pandemics going forward?
Yes, there's definitely been a number of warning signs. There's been sporadic, serious pandemics, but they haven't developed the massive human-to-human transmission that this COVID-19 has developed. We just need to think, for example, of SARS, the original SARS virus that started off in Wuhan, in China, that also started from the mistreatment of animals. This one was a civet cat. And now, the SARS virus had a very, very high mortality rate, around about 60%. But fortunately for mankind, it was only infectious once people were showing clinical signs. So it was possible with isolating people and temperature monitoring and tracking and tracing to actually bring that pandemic under control. And that's just one example. Another one was MERS, the Middle East Respiratory Syndrome, which was also yet again a coronavirus that started in camels in the Middle East and also spread to humans, but again didn't readily have human-to-human transmission and also a very, very high mortality rate. And then, of course, there's Ebola, which is a virus that came to mankind through the consumption of bats in bush market, bush meat scenario. And that also, once again, we were lucky. People were only infectious when they were showing clinical signs. But now we're dealing with a virus where people are infectious before they show clinical signs, and that makes it all but impossible to control.
So what's the root cause of it? What are we doing as mankind which we're not supposed to be doing in order to prevent further pandemics or even bigger pandemics?
Most of the pandemics we've had have come from the consumption of meat, or the mass consumption of meat, or the illegal consumption of meat. COVID-19 is believed to have been started in a wet food market in China, believed to have started off in bats, and then the virus moved from the bat into a pangolin. This is the current hypothesis. And then from the pangolin, it managed to get into mankind. But all of the major pandemics we're talking about, we go back to the really big one, the 1918 Spanish flu that killed anywhere between 50 and 100 million people. This virus started off in pig farms in the USA and spread across to Europe and spread around the world because of the movement of troops in the First World War. Then you think of HIV. HIV is believed to have started as a result of people eating chimpanzees. And then the scary virus, the pandemic that I think everybody's worried about, is still going to be influenza. And you're thinking about, for example, the bird flu. This is like a big pot that's on the boil. It's sort of boiling along nicely, and you're just waiting for it to boil over. So the bird flu, the H5N1, is the current scary one. And this virus has around about a 65% mortality rate. So that's 6.5 out of every 10 people that get it die. So if we're talking about this virus developing easy human-to-human transmission, we're faced with a major possibility of a major pandemic.
So what do we need to do differently? We see a lot of blame being apportioned to China and their cultural habits in terms of the types of animals that they consume being criticized. Is that primarily the problem, or people who eat generally the normal, if we can describe it, that types of animal meat, cattle, etc., Do we also need to change our habits? Do we also need to change how we farm these animals in order to avoid further pandemics?
Yes, this is what a lot of where the current thinking is going towards. You know, there's a massive demand for consumption of meat, and you have massive factory farms where you've got hundreds of, like with poultry, for example, you've got hundreds of millions of birds in relatively close proximity to each other. Not relatively close proximity, very close to each other. And this potentially is where a lot of these pandemic or potential pandemic viruses are developing. Now, birds or animals have diseases, viruses that they have normally. This is normal. But what happens is, under certain circumstances, the viruses jump from their normal host, like, for example, a chicken or a pig or a pangolin or a bat or whatever. It jumps from this host and it crosses the species barrier. So it gets into a different host, like, for example, a human. And then these viruses tend to have high levels of pathogenicity. So we you know, there's a concern with the because of the demand for meat. The style of farming animals has to change dramatically. So you're producing huge numbers. You've got huge numbers of animals in these factory farms that potentially is where these pandemics can start developing and spread out.
So what's your greatest fear going forward? How realistic is that? Is it that after COVID-19 we would face an even bigger pandemic with perhaps a higher mortality rate?
The virologists around the world, and myself included, still feel that the scary virus is influenza. People, you know, the epidemiologists talk about a 1 in 100 year pandemic, and if you look at it, this is 100 years since the 1918 pandemic that went on to 1920. So we're exactly 100 years past it. So this COVID-19 could be the 1 in 100 year pandemic that people are talking about. But I think a lot of people, a lot of academics and scientists are still thinking that influenza has the potential to be a really, really devastating pandemic. And I don't think just because we've had COVID-19 now, that the risk of influenza virus is becoming less. I think one of the advantages, if we want to call it an advantage of COVID-19, is that it's made everybody very much well aware of what can happen in a pandemic situation. I think the whole world is well aware that there can be devastation caused by a virus. So that's why I say this could be a dress rehearsal, that we're getting people prepared for the really big one that could be coming.
Is there light at the end of the tunnel?
Well, yes. There's, you know, the technology today is much better than it was in 1918. And you look at the speed at which scientists around the world are working towards the development of a vaccine. If we can get a vaccine out towards the end of the year or the beginning of the early part of the year, then we can possibly win the fight against this virus, and we have the technology. If an influenza virus pops up, we have the technology to be able to produce a vaccine very, very quickly. The problem with influenza is it's normally a reassortment of the virus, so you can't start producing a vaccine for a pandemic influenza virus now. You first have to wait for it to develop, and then you have to then make a vaccine. But you know, the speed at which the vaccine development is being done now is astronomical. It's amazing how quickly people, when there's need, how quickly they can get to a point where they can start going into phase 3 trials on a vaccine already. So there is hope, yes.
Professor Robert Bragg, thank you so much for your time and for talking to us this morning on Radio Islam International.
It's a great pleasure. Have a good day.